So we're going to now get into Alice Miller's For Your Own Good. We're reading her chapter, Poisonous Pedagogy. And this is Alice speaking. It may be that I'm trying to attain something with these texts that either is not possible at all or is completely superfluous. For as long as you're not allowed to see something, you have no choice but to overlook it, to misunderstand it, to protect yourself against it in one way or another. But if you've already perceived it for yourself, then you don't need me to tell you about it. Although this observation is correct, I still don't want to give up the attempt, for it strikes me as worthwhile, even though at the moment only a few readers may profit from these excerpts. I believe the quotations I've chosen will reveal methods that have been used to train children not to become aware of what was being done to them. Not only certain children, but more or less all of us and our parents and forebears. I use the word reveal here, although there was nothing secretive about these writings. They were widely distributed and went through numerous editions. We of the present generation can learn something from them that concerns us personally and was still hidden from our parents. Reading them, we may have the feeling of getting to the bottom of a mystery, of discovering something new, but at the same time familiar, that until now has simultaneously clouded and determined our lives. This was my own experience when I read Ruchuski's book about the phenomenon of poisonous pedagogy. Suddenly, I became more keenly aware of its many traces in psychoanalytic theories, in politics, and in the countless compulsions of everyday life. Those concerned with raising children have always had great trouble dealing with obstinacy, willfulness, defiance, and the exuberant character of children's emotions. They are repeatedly, and I'm going to, I should have added this in the text, with, I should add the coda, we should add the coda always under class, this universalizing of the qualities of class-bound humans is wrong. It's just plain wrong. It disappears our brothers and sisters who were raised healthy. And, you know, it still exists. Thank you. All right, so they are repeatedly reminded, those who are attempting to raise children under class, that they cannot begin to teach obedience too soon. The following passage by J. Sulzer, written in 1748, will serve as illustration of this. And my interjection, I've been struggling with the reading Alice has asked us to do, with putting such thoughts on my tongue, despite knowing she's right, that we must face the facts with which so many young people, i.e. all of us, to some degree, were conditioned, that we must understand the full extent of the challenge we're confronted with. In what follows, I'm particularly interested, given what we earlier said, about the importance of three-phase power as applied to humans under class for healing this mess, and tending our delicate flower called the earth. We said that we must allow our children to unify themselves under their own initiative, their own self-will. I mean, imagine making that term the ultimate indictment of a child. Imagine hurling it as an epithet at any creature except the human under class. Given the sad obsession with rule of the power guys, their insistence on monopolization of decision-making. Is it any wonder they honed in on this? Shattering our wholeness, destroying our ability to challenge them. These guys are all Cronuses, fearful of losing the chance of being elevated to ultimate authority over the rest of us. So let's please keep that in mind as we delve into the mind of Mr. Sulzer, from a couple centuries back. Quote, as far as willfulness is concerned, this expresses itself as a natural recourse in tenderest childhood, as soon as children are able to make their desire for something known by means of gestures. They see something they want but cannot have. And anyway, in any case, he says that they begin to cry, flail about, and these are dangerous faults to want to have your needs met. Why should we see what I mean? It's really hard for me to read this. And I think if you want to read it straight, you're probably going to have to do it yourself, because I don't know, is there a word for that resistance I'm feeling? So anyway, he says they're going to, you know, want it if they see something they want. Continuing, if willfulness and wickedness are not driven out, it is impossible to give a child a good education. You know, it's like, how can you rape a woman unless you beat her till she's unconscious, right? Well, beat that child till he's unconscious, and then he will or she will allow you to do whatever you want. I mean, that's essentially what it is. And this is the pattern across class in innumerable expressions. And so these are flaws, and the moment they appear, blah, 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 blah. Therefore, I advise all those whose concern is the education of children to make it their main occupation to drive out willfulness and wickedness and to persist until they have reached their goal. As I have remarked above, it is impossible to reason with young children, in my interjection. You hear this still today. Children cannot be reasoned with. Of course, this is covert propaganda, this elevation of powers Ki Khan to the status of a god. Remember when Alice said that she could foresee a day, and this is akin to that day when we will all be stars. I'm sorry, I'm spacing out on his name. Gorky's. I'm sorry, sir. What could I have left? Spores, spice, blah, blah. See what I'm saying? Brain under assault daily, not a good thing. Please get with me while I can still do a little bit of thinking. I mean, it's a day-to-day challenge here. All right, so this is what Maxim Gorky was talking about, that day when we will be as to each other. We will be as stars to each other. The way she put it is, we will regard our children not as creatures to manipulate or to change, but rather as messengers from a world we once deeply knew. Or this is sort of like the transition to that vision of Gorky, which is my vision, and all those who believe in human freedom's vision. So our young people are messengers to that world we once deeply knew, but which we have long since forgotten, who can reveal to us more about the true secrets of life and also our own lives than our parents were ever able to. We don't need to be told whether to be strict or permissive with our children. What we do need is to have respect for their needs, their feelings, and their individuality, as well as for our own. And when I first quoted her that, I said that this is sort of the missing piece in that analysis is forced work, that the reason why we cannot have respect for our own needs, feelings, and individuality is that we've had to put ourselves on the market. So what she's describing is the way out of class and into, that is to say, respect for their needs, feelings, and individuality, and our own, is the way out of this morass called class and into our free future.